Stand by.
On air.
You're listening to
Gravely Goes Live.
Hello and welcome to the Gravely Goes Live show, our very own podcast for all things Gravely, produced by our Year 8 Media Club and brought to you by me, Zach Ralston.
And me, Zach Ibert. In today's programme we will have
a report from our trip to CNN studios, including questions for journalists,
an interview with Tony Falshaw, a BBC photographer,
and we've got a report on the Year 8 Boys House Football.
Now let's get straight into it. I'm going to hand over to Ara now for our report from CNN.
Thanks, Zach. Well, Media Club is all about journalism. So when we had the opportunity to visit CNN, one of the world's leading news organisations, of course, we had to say yes. Here we are on the way.
So, Ibrahim and Finn, why don't you tell us about your journey down to CNN Studios?
It's a cold morning in Tooting and we're walking down to Tooting Broadway Station to take train and carry on our journey.
I really like it and it's a nice experience for all of us and it's very cool.
Do you think you're going to meet anyone famous?
Well, it depends if there's anyone famous going there on the day. Like today, there might be, so maybe.
You can tell we're up for it. So now I'm going to hand over to Farah and Mariam to tell you all about the rest of the day.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, Wandsworth!
I'm Farah Palmer.
And I'm Mariam Howes, and we're here to give you the inside scoop on Media Club's recent trip to CNN Studios.
The first thing we saw when we got there was a luxurious, simply elegant lounge.
There were tables filled with free suites.
Yes, we'll get to that later. Anyway.
Right, yes. We got there and we met the lovely CNN people.
Shout out to Kerry.
Yes, I agree. And then we went down to the meeting rooms where we found out Warner Brothers works in the same studio.
We could tell by the Scooby-Doo drawings on the walls. They told us we could ask as many questions as we wanted to ask.
So, here's William with our first great question.
Why did you choose to work at CNN?
I chose to work here because I used to work for a UK news organisation, so ITN, which makes the news for ITV and Channel 4 and Channel 5, and that was a really great company to work for. But what I really liked about CNN is it's global, it's really big, super interesting, and I get to work with really interesting people.
How inspiring, right, Mariam?
Yes, Farah, it was extremely inspiring. When we got to the newsroom, basically everyone was buzzing with excitement.
Safe to say, both groups were in fact buzzing.
We got to Charlotte, who had a very good question.
What do you do in breaking news scenario?
So in a breaking news scenario, sometimes we will only have one piece of information. Like, you know, we don't have much to go on, but we know the main piece of information about the story. So we would fact check that. And once a senior producer had agreed that we could say that on air, we would tell the presenter. But we, as I say, we might not have any reports or anything to go to at that point. So that is where their skill as a presenter comes into play, and they would have to speak for however long they needed to with that story.
My name is Charlie, and my question is, what do you do when you're not on air?
We would probably prep for the next show, really, but also we do a lot of pre-tapes. So quite often during the day, we'll be recording interviews for programmes that are going to air later. Sort of flagship show called Amanpour in the evenings, and they do quite a lot of long form interviews, so they take up a lot of our time during the day recording those.
After having a nice chat with a CNN journalist, we went to the control centre to see what people do off screen.
It was incredible seeing what happened behind closed doors, but in my opinion it did look awfully complicated.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mariam. It was safe to say a lot of people were incredibly curious. There were questions coming out from everyone, which is great to see.
We had a great question from Ara.
So without further ado, let's hear it.
Do you ever get confused with all the buttons on the control?
Not really, because there is a lot, but it's a lot of them are for very different scenarios. So on a day-to-day basis, it's mainly this front section that we're using. So I have my bank here, which is my programme bank, and I know whatever I press there is being taken to air. then this is my preview section where I'm getting shots ready. Other buttons are if we want to put people in splits. So for example, here we have on one side, we can have the presenter in the studio, and on the other side, we can have a presenter out in the field. So I know how to change those. So it's just through experience, you get used to what everything does and what you need for each different scenario.
After the control room, there was only more excitement. We met two amazing cameramen who were kind enough to explain how the cameras work and show us how to use it.
And of course, the questions didn't stop there.
And being the budding journalists we are, we were eager to know everything.
Which brings us to our next question from Sophie.
My question is, in the camera, why is it flipped upside down?
It's broken. No, it's not supposed to be upside down, but it is supposed to flip out. See, now it's not upside down.
Oh,
see.
Okay.
But in the old days, you'll notice here, look at that viewfinder there. What's the difference?
Oh, wow.
It's like a VR screen.
Yeah, but it's black and white.
Yeah. It's black
and white. Right. It looks like in the old days, the only way they could make TV screens really crystal clear was to use black and white rather than colour. They couldn't have technology to make it all. Because they're HD. So do you want to try it on? And this, of course, you could use it when you're sitting back on a tripod. You could do it all. That goes in there. These are all your controls here for audio and loads of buttons everywhere.
What are these?
That's the wireless antenna for the wireless mics.
Oh.
There was a really insightful piece of information, all thanks to Sophie.
And now for our second clip, this time not from a Media Club member, but from a cameraman on the job.
This camera is a Sony FX6. Movie directors and producers will use this camera for feature-length films. Sony has created a camera that is lighter, more compact, but also flimsy. So in the realm of news gathering, we need cameras that are pretty robust. But in near darkness, this camera's image is fantastic.
Did you know that news outlets such as CNN keep tabs on several other news outlets, such as BBC, Al Jazeera, and Sky News?
It's a very efficient way of keeping tabs on everything going around in the world.
Here's Zach Hibbert, who will tell us more.
Why do you have channels from other news outlets?
So we have those there so we can, what we call, monitor the competition. So basically, those are the channels that we're in competition with, but we just want them there to get a sense of what they're doing. So we never copy what they're doing, but it's good to know what everyone else is covering. So if there's a press conference, maybe we'll see everyone else is on that press conference and we'll think, well, should we be on that, should we not? So we make our own decisions, but it's good to know what everyone else is doing. And the same would be true in their newsrooms as well, in their control rooms. They would be watching CNN as well.
Personally, a highlight of the trip would have to be the puppy story.
It honestly was great fun for everyone who was there.
Those who participated,
those who spectated,
teachers,
and CNN stars alike.
Seeing as it was such a memorable part of the day, we have a few clips to share with you guys.
So without further ado, let's roll the tape.
Found the puppy.
My poor puppy had a really horrible night last night. I was trying to take it on a walk and it ran all the way across the park and jumped into the pond, and now it's an island on the pond.
What did you do to rescue the puppy?
So I'm going to go swim across the pond, which is not the first time I'm doing it, as we all know, bring it back, tell her off, and then it's going to happen again in a few weeks' time.
What do you think about all this?
Well, I think it's a very complicated situation here, because she's clearly very upset, but she just seems like, I can't be bothered to do this anymore, so we'll see what happens.
Overall, I would say the CNN trip was truly one to remember. I mean, it would be for me. What about you, Mariam?
It was really incredible. Honestly, it was $1 million, or should I say pound, experience. And after seeing what it was like to be a journalist,
or a cameraman,
or maybe someone working around the control center, it really solidified what I wanted to be when I'm older.
That's so sweet. I'm sure the CNN journalist would be so pleased to hear that. And you would be so good at it.
Aw, thanks, Farah.
Let's remember to thank all the amazing people who helped put all this together.
Yep, thank you so much to Miss Skull, Audrey, and everyone else involved.
That's all from us for this episode.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Bye! Okay, so Farah, what would you say out of the CNN newsroom, backstage, the cameras, and the puppy story, out of all of those, which one was your favourite? Probably the puppy story, because Charlotte's like responses are really funny. Because my dog was the one who was drowning in the lake, and then she said that she had to jump in again and save it, and then it was quite funny.
What about you? What was your favourite bit?
As like stressful as it was, I would say going on to the newsroom.
I stuttered so much.
Oh my gosh, same. Yeah, the auto cue did help a lot, but it was moving like 100 quite miles an hour, so you know, very hard to read off of it.
It was a fun day though, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Farah and Marion. It's Isla here. In case you're wondering, the CNN journalist asked us to create our own story, so that's how the puppy story came about. So, we learned a lot about live studio on our trip to CNN, but what about the people who send the pictures back from stories all around the world? We had a chance to speak to Tony Forsell, a news cameraman who worked for the BBC for a total of 45 years. He swung by the Grave News Goats live studio and we were shown lots of pictures of his travels. We were all very interested and eager to ask him questions and hear his wisdom. In a minute, you'll hear our reporter William, but first, a question from me. Hello, I'm Isla, and my question is, what's your favourite place you've ever been to?
Isla, I think my favourite place, although it's a hard question, would be Myanmar or Burma. It used to be called Burma, but now it's Myanmar. It was a very interesting place to go. The story was fascinating. A lot of times we used to have to go in undercover. We used to have to pretend we were tourists and we would go in with small cameras and do some filming because the military junta who were in charge didn't really want journalists there. So it was quite fun to be in. It was quite exciting, a little bit dangerous, but the people were fantastic and made lots of good friends there.
I'm William and it's my job to guide you through our session with Tony. The next question was a highly relevant one.
Hi, my name's Ariana and my question is, if you were to go on any news trip, where would it be and what would you be reporting on?
I think if I could go into Gaza, I would love to go into Gaza because I don't think any journalists have been in there without an escort from the Israeli army. It's always called an embed. You go in with the Israeli army and you're censored by them. And I think as a cameraman, it's a very rich picture story.
Hi, my name is Mariam, and my question was, what was the one place you've been to that has given you the biggest culture shock?
Maybe America.
This surprised the group.
Yes. I lived in America for a year, and I thought I would have lots more in common with Americans, but it is completely different from state to state. I used to do stories from the south to the north and I was traveling all the time. But I really did believe that they were different to us. And I still can't make out why they are so different, yet they speak the same language.
Tony really impressed the group with this one.
Hi, my name is Farah and my question is, who is your favourite famous person that you've had the chance to meet?
Farah, that's an easy question. Nelson Mandela. I was awestruck by meeting Nelson Mandela. I didn't know what to say to him, you know, when he was introduced. So I just put my hand out to shake his hand. And he shook my hand and I was like, somebody take a photograph, please, please, somebody take a photograph. But unfortunately, there's no record of that. So it's in my heart.
As Tony was answering our questions, some of us tried on the press flak jacket and helmet. We asked how effective they were. The answer was rather unexpected.
Hello, my name is Charlotte and my question is, have you ever been injured while reporting a story?
I was the only BBC cameraman to be injured on the Somme. So it was 100 years from the Battle of the Somme. And I was with a correspondent and I was doing some filming and we were filming some graves. I sort of stepped back with the camera on my shoulder. And as I stepped off, I sort of came off a very smooth ground onto some unsettled ground. And my ankle sort of just turned straight over. And I fell backwards with the camera, the tripod, onto this grave. And my correspondent, he said, Tony, get up. People have died here.
Tony mentioned he had worked as a cameraman for 30 years, so I jumped in with my question. Other than changes in camera technology, what seems to have been the biggest change in your job?
Very easy, Williams. Good question. There has been enormous changes. We used to have to go to a TV station, give the tape over to somebody who would transmit that, and it used to cost thousands of pounds to do that. And then when the internet came in and we started to use the internet, we could do it all from a laptop. That's the biggest change to our job. So it meant I could go on to a frontline position. As long as I've got access to internet, you can transmit from anywhere. But days gone by, you used to have to go out, do your filming, come back to the hotel, edit, take that to the TV station, and then transmit it. Whereas now, you can just do it all from the field.
This question had the whole group absolutely spellbound.
Hello, my name is Alessandra, and what's the most dangerous war zone you've entered whilst broadcasting?
I think two, Alexandra. I think Gaza, when you used to go to Gaza, was very dangerous because the front line would change. And Ukraine has been very dangerous because you was on a front line where you've got very heavy artillery or ammunition around, and it was very easy to be targeted, and especially now with drones, they can come from anywhere. There was a situation, a place called Varash, and that was during the Bosnian War, and I was working with a correspondent and myself, and we'd given a facility with the UN to go to an airbase in Varash, and we flew there on a helicopter filming, and I was filming out the helicopter, and then all of a sudden we landed and we were promptly arrested by the Bosnian army. We were thrown in prison, and I spent 3 days in prison.
As you can imagine, we had a whole load of questions about that answer.
Who released you? Like, what was the reason? Because they only kept you for 3 days, so why was that only 3 days?
Okay. Good question. We were arrested because they thought we were filming their front lines, and they'd just lost this village called Srebrenica, and there'd been a massacre on civilians there, and they knew we were UN, but they were angry about it, and I think they wanted to make an example, and they kept calling us Serbian spies. And unfortunately, I had filmed all their frontline positions from the helicopter. So they kept saying to me, why did you film from the helicopter? And I said, well, I'm a journalist. That's my job. I'm a cameraman. I haven't done anything wrong. And they said, that's our frontline positions. And I say, well, I didn't know that. You know, I was just doing my job filming. But in the end, there's some negotiations went on with the UN. And I think they were a Pakistani UN peacekeeping force there. And they were very nice. They came and visited us and made sure we were being well looked after. They even brought us lovely food and made sure we were being fed and looked after. And then after about 3 days, they'd negotiated our release. And so it was the Bosnian army released us in the end.
We just had time for one question, but it was to be very important and moving.
Oh, this young lad hasn't asked one.
Yeah, let's Theo.
My name's Theo, and my question is, what's the location you've been to in your career that you found the most physically and emotionally difficult?
Oh, that is really a good question, Theo. I found Sudan was very emotionally. We're coming across terrible stories of brutality. That was very upsetting. And I think that does affect you. Another place I went to where I almost stopped filming, we were filming in Ukraine. This ambulance pulled up and they got a lady out who was badly injured. And talked to her, and she said to us, her grandchildren have been killed. She invited us to the funeral. I was filming, I just had to say to the correspondent, I don't think I can do any more. You know, because I saw two little children, a little girl and a little boy in a coffin. You know, it was quite shocking.
That was Tony Falshaw discussing his time as a cameraman at the BBC. He provided fascinating insights and gave inspiration to those who aspire to work in the news industry.
Thanks, William. I'm Beth. And now, as we get to the end of this edition of Graveney Goes Live, we're going to change the mood.
Sport is a big part of our life here at Graveney, so we sent our reporters along to check out one of our most popular sporting competitions.
We're here live reporting from the boys' house football semi-finals. It's currently Rosa Bassett v First Down, 1-0 to Rosa Bassett.
With Mormon scoring the first goal.
My name is Neve.
My name is Ariana.
It currently looks like quite a close game.
There's a little problem. Refs coming in. We're starting.
Free kick.
Look. He's running up. He shoots.
Missed
the goal.
That was Rosa Bassett.
Rosa Bassett missed the goal. Start coming back in.
Shot.
Coming straight down the line. Rosa Bassett sliding for the ball, miss it. Coming straight down. Oh, save twice. In, goal.
First down.
Score is 1-1.
With the goal from first down being from Abdu.
Anyone could take it now.
We're here with
Johnny.
And he's going to tell us a little bit about the match so far.
So we have first down and Rosa Bassett going head to head. We have a current score at half time being 2-1 to first down. We're hoping to get another score in Rosa Bassett. I'm from C, so I'm supporting Rosa Bassett.
So what do you think of the match so far? Has it been tight or?
I think it was tight. I think Jasper, who scored the second goal for first down, was a bit cheeky with that move because he basically caught my precious goalie off guard, but we won't talk about that one. And we've been doing good so well. We've got good defence so far. Abdu's going strong with his attacks, but hopefully we should equalise it.
Do you think Rosa Bassett are playing badly or first down are playing well?
I think, to be honest, don't tell them I said this, but first down are playing very good, but we're still defending it really well.
Okay, thank you for your input on this match.
This is us signing off.
I've been Neve.
I've been Ariana.
And
I've been Johnny.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
And in case you were interested, the final score was 4-2 to first down.
That was great. Well done, everyone.
Yep, good job.
But all good things have to end.
So unfortunately, we have to finish there.
You've been listening to the Graveney Goes Live podcast, produced by and featuring Ibrahim,
Selena,
Anastasia,
Beth,
Neve,
Isla,
Ariana,
Mariam,
Finn,
Charlie,
Charlotte,
Sophie,
Ara,
Farah,
Mabel,
Alexandra,
Theo,
William,
and of course me, Zach Ralston,
and me, Zach Ibbert. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye and have a great night. That is Zach Ralston
and Zach Ibbert
signing off.
Bye.
Okay, we're out.